Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
A Democratic candidate for president was recently in Marion and Warren counties. Let's go in depth with Mayor Pete Buttigieg of South Bend, Indiana. Mayor, as you know, some people are just starting to pay attention. Some Iowans, I mean, we've been paying attention all along, but some people are just sort of starting now. Can you give a little bit of background to who you are and why you're running for president?
Sure. So I'm the mayor of a community in the Midwest, probably about 6 or 8 hours up I-80 from Des Moines. I know the issues that impact so many people in the middle of the country, and I think it's time for a president who has that experience. Our city was described as dying at the beginning of this decade. It's one of those industrial towns in the heart of the Midwest, and we found a better future. Now I see a country that needs to find a better future. We are so divided at each other's throats, and we've got a president who's making it worse. This is our opportunity, not just to deliver a new president, but to deliver a new era, to unite the American people, and do it in a way that tackles our big issues. I refuse to accept the idea that the only way to solve a big problem is with an idea that's going to alienate half the American people. We can do big things, deliver health care, tackle climate change, deal with gun violence, and do it in a way that will actually leave the American people more united rather than divided around values that we share, values that I grew up with, values that I cultivated when I was serving in the military, and values that don't belong to one political party.
And what are those values?
Well, I think about values like freedom, but the idea that our freedom depends not just on getting government out of the way. Sometimes that's important. Sometimes it's insisting that the public sector step up. That's why we got to do something to fix healthcare. It's why we got to do something to make sure that we're more free to live lives of our choosing. It's why education is so important, because we get freedom through education. I think about values like faith. You know, right now faith is being used to divide us, but I'm offering a White House where you wouldn't have to turn on the news and scratch your head when they're cutting food stamps and think, whatever happened, I was hungry and you fed me, or I was a stranger and you welcomed me. These are values that, again, I don't think belong to one political party. I think about patriotism and what moved the people that I served with when I was in Afghanistan, and I don't see it reflected in the White House today, where you see them throwing out military trial convictions of war criminals. You see them attacking war heroes and veterans. We can do so much better than that, and I believe that not only my fellow Democrats, progressives, moderates, independents, and a lot of Republicans that I meet who may not agree with me on everything but are just sickened by what's happening in the White House right now are ready to form that coalition, to form that majority that's going to deliver a better life for us in every part of the country, including here in the heartland where you and I live.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Now, a lot of those issues that you just mentioned, values, that's part of what splits us, though. Issues of gun control, climate change, the role of faith, the role of old programs to help the needy, where some of my friends might say, feed the hungry, feed the poor. Others might say they need to get up and pull themselves up by their bootstraps, that the current welfare state enables them to be weak and to take money rather than going out and getting a job.
Well, I guess what I'm seeing is that the American people are much more united than the American Congress. I'm taking an issue like guns. Last time I checked, 80% of Republicans, vast majority of gun owners, think we ought to at least be doing background checks because it's common sense. Now, you'd never know it looking at Congress, but here among real people that we talk to, there's a lot more common ground than you would think. Most Americans believe that wages need to go up. Most Americans believe that you ought to be able to get paid family leave like pretty much every other country has. On issue after issue, maybe we've been told to vote a certain way based on how we came up or where we live, but these things are changing. I mean, certainly from a military perspective, I think that the stronger case on national security is being made not by this president who's destroying our alliances, but by other voices in the party, including veterans like myself. And you look at something like farming, where this president has turned his back on American farmers. We're seeing it again with the the RFS issues affecting ethanol, but it's one of many examples where I think it's time for folks to pause and maybe you've been used to voting a certain way for a long time, but ask, okay, who's really going to deliver for me? And what's going to prepare us best for the future?
It's pretty interesting that, to me, to follow the RFS thing, the Renewable Fuel Standard, is because a lot of people don't blame Trump for that. They blame the EPA. When, I mean, what's your take on that?
Well, you know, the president has authority over his appointees in the EPA, and I think you got folks in charge over there who don't really believe in supporting American farmers. They don't even believe in environmental protection. We know that real environmental protection has to happen in a partnership with American farmers. I think that's important not just on things like biofuels, but tackling climate change itself. There is so much evidence that American farming could be at the forefront of dealing with this problem of carbon emissions. We got to reach out to American farmers, invest in them being the solution, and not keep telling them they're part of the problem.
Well, now, in the third debate and in your policy programs, you talked about new revenue streams for farmers to do conservation work. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. So we've got programs on the books now, Conservation Stewardship Program, EQIP, but we could be adding funding to those programs. We could also be opening up new sources of grants and support for things that are going to lead the way on carbon neutral or carbon negative farming. You know, my estimation is that we're going to have to about quadruple federal R&D to the neighborhood of $20 to $25 billion a year in order to tackle the climate change before we hit the point that pretty much every scientist in the world tells us is going to take us to catastrophe, especially for farming. Now, in order to do that, we've got to be investing not just in things like solar panels and wind farms, that's important, but also investing in things like soil management and new techniques with cover crops. If we can find billions of dollars to set up the MFP to take the edge off a trade war we shouldn't have had in the first place, surely we can find billions of dollars to invest and not just urge farmers to continue leading the way on these practices.
Now, I think that's a key word, invest, rather than how do we pay for it. Investment yields an outcome that, right, with respect to climate change and our soil and water, et cetera, that could actually, as an investment, yield benefits that save money.
Especially compared to the cost of doing nothing. We know that if we get this right, there is a payoff. There is a big payback, both in terms of the problems we're going to avoid and in terms of the jobs we're going to create. My climate plan will create about 3 million net new jobs. Some of them will be in very new areas. Some of them will be in farming. Some of them will be in very traditional areas like building trades. We're going to need more electrical workers and insulators to make sure our buildings are set up for what we need for the future in terms of energy efficiency. The potential is tremendous, and we've got to rally together as a country and take on this climate challenge. And by the way, the world needs us to lead too, because the world's not going to be able to fix it without us. We're not going to be able to fix it alone.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Mayor Pete Buttigieg. So a lot of times we are used to Washington, D.C. imposing things, especially farmers. They're used to, and yeah, rural people in general that I'm familiar with, are used to D.C. imposing things on us. How can this be a bottom-up, bottom-led movement with respect to farmers, as opposed to Washington, D.C. top-down?
Well, and I know how that feels. Again, I'm a mayor running a water and wastewater utility. I know how it is to get a lot of unfunded mandates headed your way. And what I believe is that the solutions don't all have to come from Washington, but more of the funding should. So, for example, on disaster preparedness, I'm proposing that we set up regional resiliency hubs. A lot of the solutions should come from the local communities, the counties, partnering on what they need. But there should be dollars coming from Washington in order to help with it. Same thing with what we're doing in order to deal with health equity and rural health. You know, when I was born, there was no difference in life expectancy between somebody in a rural area, somebody living in a city. Now that gap is the biggest that it's been in a very long time. Now, part of how we solve that is not to send all the answers out from Washington, but to fund local and regional efforts with dollars from Washington that can help people who know how to solve problems in their own way that's appropriate to their own communities.
How about investing in our research institutions? And a lot of research now is funded by corporations or funded by us, and then the corporations take what they learn. How about more funding for federal research, independent research where scientists can follow where their minds lead them to solve problems rather than where corporations lead us to make money.
Yeah, you know, corporate funding is only going to get you so far. They'll fund things that they think they can get a return on. But some of the biggest ideas, the trillion-dollar ideas that humanity has produced, would never have happened without federal research. Think about space flight. Think about the internet itself. We forget. The internet was invented as a federal project. Then the private sector picked up the ball and ran with it and created jobs. And so I think we need to be ready to make those investments, whether it's in health, whether it's in innovation. And again, I'm proposing regional innovation hubs that are set up based on what's appropriate to a different area, but getting more federal money. And we've got to be ready, whether it's climate or disease research or agricultural R&D, to put the federal dollars where the market's not ready to go yet.
Well, I know you just released your immigration plan. If you want to touch on that before you have to leave, that'd be great.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of folks in rural communities don't get enough credit for having an open mind and an open heart when it comes to immigration. I've been in so many rural areas in Iowa where folks know just how important immigrants are to being able to keep a lot of these businesses going. You know, the need for workers. We don't just need job growth. We need population growth. It's one of the reasons why I'm proposing community renewal visas, where if a community decides that it wants to welcome more new Americans, you get an extra allotment of visas that go to people who commit to being in an area for a given amount of time that's maybe been hurting for population over the years. And that's based on what I've seen in places like Storm Lake, where we saw a parade of nations of all the different nationalities of people who are helping lift up and grow those communities. We know that we got to have a more humane strategy at the border, but we also know that we got to fix our legal system overall, make sure it actually makes sense, link up the visas to the actual work and job requirements. There's almost no relationship now between what the economy needs and what the system will allow. We got to match all of those things up and act quickly, not only to fix the problem, but also so we're no longer so divided around it. You know, if this White House wanted to, they could have fixed this immigration issue, because there's actually a bipartisan group of people ready to go in Congress. But I think I'm afraid that they benefit from us being so divided. We got to put an end to that.
Well, now reassure me. My family is almost exclusively blue collar, a lot of construction workers, factory workers, plumbers, mechanics, etc. Now, how are we going to protect those jobs?
Well, we need to make sure that we're creating jobs for the future and supporting the jobs that are there. This is the story of my community, too. I'm from an industrial, blue-collar, and largely low-income community that found ways to grow, not by completely changing everything that we did, but by recognizing that alongside traditional manufacturing jobs, we're going to have to create jobs in new areas. We can do that. We're going to have to. I mean, in order to meet the energy demands of a new economy that we're building, in order to continue to be the economy that sells the best of our products around the world, we need that work more than ever. Some things are going to change, but what's not going to change is the importance, the dignity, and the respect that we've got to give for work in this country. And it's one of the reasons why, you know, in addition to, I'm glad there's a conversation going on about college cost. It's important. But we got to talk a lot more about making sure folks prosper, whether you went to college or not. That's why we got to invest more in apprenticeship programs and trade schools, support career and technical education going on in the schools, and make sure that young people can see themselves in so many different jobs and careers that we need in the future. We got to be building up this economy at every level and not just say that it's a good economy because the Dow Jones is looking good. I'm going to measure the success of our economy not by the Dow Jones, not by the GDP, but by whether the income level is growing for the 90%. Because if the economy is not working for 90%, then as far as I'm concerned, it's not working.
One quick question before you have to go. Why should people caucus for you as opposed to another candidate?
So I'm asking people to caucus for me because I am the candidate ready not just to defeat this president, as a Midwesterner, as a veteran, as the only top-tier candidate who's not a millionaire or a billionaire. I can speak directly to what the American people need instead of what the president's selling. But it's not just about getting a new and better president. It's about what comes next. We have got to pull together as a country. And my ideas are bold enough to fix the problem, but also designed to be big-hearted enough to keep that majority of the American people who want to do these things. We got to galvanize and unify, not polarize the American people. That's what my candidacy and my presidency will do, and I'm asking for you to caucus for me in order to give us that chance.
Thanks to Mayor Pete Buttigieg for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.